So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text Number 37, Chapter entitled Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Vasudeva Vacha Slaganiya Gunaha Surair Bhavan Bhoja Yasaskara Sa Katam Bhaginim Hanyat Sriyam Udvaha Parvani. Sri Vasudeva Vacha Slaganiya Gunai Surair Bhavan Bhoja Yasaskara Sakatam Bhaganim Hanya Sriyam Udvaha Parvani. Sri Vasudeva Uvacha. The great personality Vasudev said, Slaganiya Guna. A person who possesses praiseworthy qualities. Surai. By great heroes. Bhavan, your good self. Bhoja Yasaskaraha, a brilliant star in the Bhoja dynasty. Saha, one such as your good self. Katam, how? Bhaginim, your sister. Anyat, can kill. Sriyam, especially a woman. Udvaha Parvani, at the time of the marriage ceremony. Translation: Vasudev said, my dear brother-in-law Kams, you are the pride of your family, the Bhoja dynasty, and great heroes praise your qualities. How could such a qualified person as you kill a woman, your own sister, especially on the occasion of her marriage? Translation, please repeat. Vasudev said, my dear brother-in-law Kans, you are the pride of your family, the Bhoja dynasty, and great heroes praise your qualities. How could such a qualified person as you kill a woman, your own sister, especially on the occasion of her marriage? Purport. According to Vedic principles, a brahmana, an old man, a woman, a child, or a cow cannot be killed under any circumstances. Vasudev stressed that Devaki was not only a woman, but a member of Kansa's family. because he was now married to Vasudev, she was Parastri, another man's wife. And if such a woman were killed, not only would Kams be implicated in sinful activities, but his reputation as king of the Bhoja dynasty would be damaged. Thus Vasudev tried in many ways to prevent Kams in order to stop him from killing Devaki. Sri Vasudeva Vacha Slaganiya Gunasti Surair Bhavan Bhojaya Saskara Sakatam Bhaginim Hanyad Sriyam Udvaha Parvanin. Vasudeva said, "My dear brother-in-law Kams, you are the pride of your family, the Bhoja dynasty, and great heroes praise your qualities. How could such a qualified person as you kill a woman, your own sister, especially on the occasion of her marriage?" Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandigam Adadanas Trinandantai Ridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktarin. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanja Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance with my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes to the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So here we see the great intelligence of Vasudev. Although Kans is a very heinous person, condemned person, but still he's praising him. Prabhupada explains sometimes that great souls, they have to praise the demons in order to get some benefit from them. Mm-hmm. Vasudeva, he's a kshatriya, so he knows all the diplomacy. So here he describes him as the pride of the Bhoja dynasty. Just imagine. And what does he say? A person who possesses wonderful qualities and praised by many people. Actually, everyone in Mathura was cursing Kans. But in order to try to save, especially for saving the life, one can do anything. The Vedic scriptures are always guarding life. Anyway, anyhow, you have to guard your life, even if you have to praise a demon. In fact, there's no more pro-life than Krishna consciousness. Any way that life can be brought into this world, there's evidence in the Shastra for it. One time I was in Durban, South Africa, and one student from the university came. She had some project, and she was interviewing the different religions about their views on artificial insemination and things like this. So I'm poor Baba who just sits here in Vrindavan. We never hear about these weird things. But somehow the devotees were bewildered, so they brought her to me because I was a visiting person. But whatever things she put forward, we could find some evidence in the Shastra. It's like artificial insemination. We know there I guess it was Bharat Maharaj, one of the, there's so many Bharat Maharaj, there's one Bharat Maharaj. Somehow his forefathers called him to do some errands for them. But the scriptures, they describe the wife was in season, so he didn't want to waste the time. So he sent his semen back to his wife and was injected in her womb, and a great soul appeared. Then as far as surrogate mother, they asked about that, you know, all these in the West, all these things are there. But it's all there in the scripture also. We know that one time Parvati and Shiva, they were relishing pastimes in the form of monkeys. And Parvati got pregnant and she said, "Oh my God, I already have one son with elephant head. Now what kind of son am I going to get?" So somehow Vayu took that embryo from the womb of Parvati and kept it in the Himalayas, in the stream, in the cold stream of the Himalayas. And then at the time that Anjani became pregnant, then that was injected into Anjani's womb, and he was born as Hanuman. So Hanuman's partial expansion of Lord Shiva. In this way, just about everything she presented for bringing life into this world, the Vedas are for everything. For terminating life, they're against everything. There's no religion more pro-life than Krishna consciousness. So he has to save the life of his wife somehow or another, brand new bride. So here he's having to do such a thing as praise Kansa. He's giving so many flatteries, even though Kansa is a demon, he's giving so many flatteries just to save the life of Devaki. And here in the purport it says, an old man, woman, a Brahmin, and a cow, these things should never be killed. Sometimes Vedas sanction killing, but these classes of living entities should never be killed. So someone may wonder, because we know that Kansa is the son of Ugrasen, who was the king of Mathura, although finally comes through his own father. He's such a demon. He threw his own father in jail and usurped the throne. So how is it possible that such a great king as Ugrasen got such a demon? Because we know the parents, the consciousness of the parents decides what type of child will come into the womb. We know that Ugrasen was a very pious king, so how is it possible? Actually, it's not told in Srimad Bhagavatam, but in one of the Puranas, there's a story how Padmavati, Kansa's, Ugrasen's wife, she went to Vidarbha to visit her father. Sometimes, especially just a couple of months ago with Shravan, we see all the young girls, they like to go home to their father's house. Is it? So, she went to her father's house. And he had a beautiful palace with a beautiful garden. So she was strolling in the garden one day. And there was one yaksha, evil yaksha. Don't ask me what a yaksha is, but we hear about them all the time. I don't know, I haven't any idea. Anyway, there was an evil yaksha named Dramila. Sometimes also called Gobila. He saw Padmavati and he was struck with lust. Because he was a demon. But he was a very powerful yaksha. He could change his form. So he changed his form exactly like Ugrasen. And Padmavati, she saw, "Oh, my husband is here in the garden. This is so wonderful. How did he come?" So they began to enjoy in the garden. At that time, she realized, "This is not my husband." But it was too late. She was impregnated with Kansa. So she cursed that child that he would be killed by his own relative. So Kansa is not actually the real son of Ugrasen. He's the son of one evil yaksha named Dramila, Gobila. And we hear that he was the reincarnation of Kalanemi. So we keep hearing about this Kalanemi, but it's like, and that he was killed by Vishnu. But I don't remember any such story. You know, if you ask about Hiranyaksha, immediately we can tell the story. Hiranyakashipu, immediately we can tell the story. If I say, Kalanemi, what's the story? How did Vishnu kill him? Anybody remembers? Nobody remembers. So I looked it up. I searched through the Bhagavatam. In the 8th canto, there's a story about the churning of the ocean of milk. We know the demigods and the demons, they made a truce. Because neither party was capable of churning the great ocean. So they made a truce that they would churn the ocean of milk and produce amrit, nectar of immortality. And the deal was that since they both cooperated, they would split it. Of course, we know the Lord was very clever at the time that the amrit was produced. He immediately appeared as Mohini. Mohini incarnation of the Lord, female incarnation of the Lord. This is such a religion, we even have a female incarnation of the Lord. No other religion has such a thing. So, this was very clever of the Lord, because the demons are always especially interested in sex life. Just like I was reading yesterday on Facebook, Giriraj Maharaj was explaining one story that he was talking about all the troubles that Prabhupada went through to get the Juhu temple. Even after they got it, there were so many troubles. The municipality wouldn't give them permission to build. The police said, "Our Harinam." Then even after Prabhupada left, there were the papers were saying that we were CIA and this and that and foreign agents and so many bad things. So eventually the police raided the temple. And they searched the whole temple looking for some sort of contraband, or everybody told that the spires on top of Juhu temple were the radio transmitters, the antennas. In the basement there was a transmitter. So they're looking the whole place. So finally they came to even Prabhupada's rooms. Jai Sri Sri Gornitai, Sri Sri Krishna Baldao, Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki. And so Giriraj Maharaj was present at that time, and Kamal Krishna was GBC. So they both went with the police and entered Prabhupada's quarters. And the chief of police, he looked at Tamal, he said, "Do you know why we're searching this place?" And Tamal said, "I guess because there's so many foreigners here." He said, "Foreigners? If we go to the Sun and Sand Hotel, we'll find many more foreigners there." But there, they're all eating meat, having illicit sex life, gambling, taking intoxication. But that's all right, people like that. The demons, they like those things. So that's okay. But here you people, you're not taking any type of intoxication. You're not having illicit sex life. You're not gambling. You're not... what did we miss? Eating meat. Not only you're not doing these things, you're advertising that everybody should do like this. Therefore we have to search you, because the demons, they think it's okay. If you do all these nasty things, it's okay. So the demons are very interested in sex life. So Mohini Murti came and she charmed the demons and said, "Look, these guys are cream puffs. Let me give them the nectar first, and then, because you guys are very powerful and brave, so you can wait." She tricked them. So once the demons realized they'd been tricked, they were very furious. This is one whole chapter, the fight with the demons with the demigods. We're always reading about this. There's a whole chapter there in the 8th canto. So the demons, when they realized they'd been tricked, they became furious because they had been cheated. They had worked very hard, churning the ocean, and now they were being cheated out of their just deserves. So they immediately started a big war. They were furious. And it's described, they came, and some of them were riding on elephants, some of them were riding on horses, some of them were riding on deer, some of them were riding on rats, some of them were riding on lizards, some were riding on snakes. It goes on, big description of all the different bonds of the demons. You know, when the demigods came, they also became furious seeing the prowess of the demons. They also became very furious, and huge fight. Sukadeva Goswami says, if I describe everything about this fight, your hairs will stand on end. We think Steven Spielberg, we should turn him on to the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, because then the fight starts, and it's a huge fight. Heads are being severed from the body, arms are being cut off, legs are being cut off. There's rivers of blood everywhere with these arms and legs, and heads with beautiful golden earrings, you know, the eyes staring into space. Huge, incredible description. Furious fight is going on. Blood is being splattered everywhere. We can't imagine such a fight. Sukadeva Goswami says, just to describe it, your hairs will stand on end. This huge battle is going on. They're being led by the son of Birochan and Bali. So Bali took out his weapons and he began to fight. But Indra came, and immediately, before he could even put the weapon to the bow, Indra cut it to pieces. Then he took another weapon. Indra cut it to pieces. He was furious. And he was riding on such an airplane that he could become invisible. So he became invisible. Then he began to make all kinds of apparitions appear in the sky. Huge giant tsunamis began to appear, and lightning bolts, and demoness and demons completely naked carrying tridents began to appear. Suddenly a huge mountain with a forest fire on top, and burning trees began to fall, just like in California, burning trees were falling on top of the demons. Huge cloud appeared, and burning coals began to appear from the cloud. All the demigods became helpless. Seeing all the magic of Bali Maharaj, they became helpless. They began to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Suddenly, Lord Vishnu appeared with eyes just like lotus petals, with a beautiful golden helmet, with his Kaustubha gem and the mark of Sri Vatsa on his chest, beautiful pitambar, golden dhoti, and armlets made of gold encrusted with rubies, and he was mounted on Garuda, and his legs were hanging under the wings of Garuda. Just like here we have one temple, Garuda Govind. If you go there on Chandanyatra day, they don't put any cloth, you can see. And if you know where to look, you can see Lord Vishnu's, you see the wings of Garuda, and then you see these two lotus feet of the Lord appearing underneath the wings. So he was mounted on Garuda like this. And he had eight arms with all different types of weapons. As soon as Lord Vishnu appeared in the sky, as brilliant as the sun, all the magic of Bali Maharaj was destroyed. And thus the Lord then Kalanemi appears. Now Kalanemi comes. Kalanemi appears, and he has a huge trident, and he's riding on a lion. That's what we forgot. Some of them were riding on lions and tigers and camels and horses and asses, all types of vehicles they had, the demons. So he came charging toward Lord Vishnu, riding on this huge tiger and this gigantic trident. He hurled that trident at the head of Garuda, and the Lord, with the Sudarshan Chakra, he grabbed it with his own hand and threw it at Kalanemi and killed Kalanemi. In this way, Lord Vishnu killed Kalanemi. So this is a story, because I was always wondering, I always hear that he's reincarnation of Kalanemi. So in this way, he took his next, by some curse, he also took his next birth as Kans. And his form as Kalanemi, he had six sons. Those six sons, by some curse, they were cursed by Hiranyakashipu, because they had gone to Lord Brahma and asked Lord Brahma for the same benedictions that Hiranyakashipu had. So when Hiranyakashipu found out that they went behind his back to the demigods, he was furious. He was totally furious that the demigods, they quiver just when I raise my eyebrows. Why have you gone to them? I'm the most powerful person in this universe. So he was furious. He cursed you. You will take birth as the sons of Devaki and be killed by your own father in the form of Kans. So they are, these six children of Devaki are the reincarnation of the six sons of Kalanimi. So this is that whole story that I was always wondering. So that's where Kalanimi was killed by. This is the story of how Lord Vishnu killed him. So the other day when we were talking about Purushottama month, and Purushottama month is going on very nicely, we told about how Lord Krishna in Kamivan, he met the Pandavas and informed them that they were undergoing so many difficulties because the last Purushottama month they had not honored it properly. And he told them, now Purushottama month is coming, you honor this month properly and you'll be liberated from all your difficulties and you will be again become the kings of the earth. Then he said, I may say something else to emphasize Purushottama month. He said, one time there was a great sage who lived in the forest and he had a beautiful daughter. But in her youth, his wife died. And since he was a great sage, he was already uninterested in material life. He became completely disinterested in material life. And gradually his daughter grew up. She attained the full bloom of youth. And all her friends were getting married and having children, and she was seeing this. But her father wasn't taking any interest in her marriage, and then her father died. So she was crying like anything. That there's no one to protect me, I have no husband, I have no one to protect, no one to look after me. As she was weeping and weeping, Durvasa Rishi reached the ashram of that sage. I've forgotten his name just now. You remember? All right. He reached the ashram of that sage. And weeping, weeping, she fell at Durvasa Rishi's feet. And Durvasa Rishi inquired from her. She explained the whole thing. And he said, then you're very fortunate. Next month is Purushottama month. If you observe Purushottama month very regularly, then all your troubles will be vanquished. This is so auspicious month if you observe it very carefully. But she was a simple girl. She had heard that Purushottama was Malamas, the stool month. So she became very angry and said, you're cheating me. This is Malamas. Nobody does anything auspicious in Malamas. You're cheating me. So Durvasa Rishi, we know he's very easily angered. So he became furious and described his whole body was trembling. His eyes became red like coals. But somehow or other, because that Rishi who had died was his friend, he calmed himself. He said, I'm not going to kill you. Because you're already in this terrible condition. But you foolish girl, you don't know this Purushottama month is named after the Lord, Purushottama. For ordinary auspicious activities, fruitive activities, karmakanda is useless. But for devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God, it is the most useful month. And because you've insulted this Purushottama month, I'm not going to curse you, but this Purushottama, this reaction will come to you one day. And then Durvasa Rishi left the ashram. So having no shelter, she went and she, for 9,000 years, she worshipped Lord Shiva. She did great penances and austerities and worshipped Lord Shiva. So finally Lord Shiva appeared and she fell at his feet weeping and weeping. He said, what is it you desire? I'm very pleased by your service. Whatever you want, I will give you. And she explained her situation. And he said, please give me a husband. 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 So Lord Shiva said, you have asked for a husband 5 times, so you will get 5 husbands. She said, are? She became ashamed. This is a great shame. If a woman has 5 husbands, this is a great shame. So no, but my words are infallible. It will not go in vain. But don't worry, you will not be defamed by this, because the 5 husbands will be none other than the great Pandavas themselves. So then, after she left her body, just not far from here, Panchal Desh, just near, what is the name of that city? Anyways, we did a program there, and we saw this. We saw the Kund, the Yajna Kund, where, who was it before him? Draupadi's father, what is her name? Drupa, excuse me, yeah, Draupadi's father, Drupa, naturally. Where Drupa had performed this yajna, and Draupadi appeared in that yajna. So then, that same girl, that is your present wife, Draupadi, who's standing here before us. Because she insulted Shotamant, therefore she was... the reaction came that she got 5 husbands. Not only that, she was trying to be made naked by Susasana. So now you have to very carefully follow this month that is coming soon, after a couple of years, and then all your troubles will be finished. So this was the other half of the story, but we didn't have time the other day to tell. So, wasn't much of a purport. I tried to speak something. If there's any questions, we can try to answer the questions. Okay, Jigyasu Das. Another age is 9,000 years was nothing. For us, 90 years is a long time. Nobody can even hope to get 90 years. What to speak of 100? We're supposed to live 100. So 9,000 years was nothing in other ages.
So in the previous time, the duration was long. Now the duration is short.
Yeah.
And how about Ravana also? He prayed to Lord Shiva and he got 10 heads.
How about?
Ravana.
Yeah.
And he got 10 heads. He got 10 heads.
Anyway, this is a story in the Shastra. I don't know all the details. Just it says that she worshipped Lord Shiva for 9,000 years. So we're very fortunate in this Kali Yuga. We simply have to chant the holy name of Krishna. And the same result that was even better result, she got 9,000. But here we know that verse. All the whole last week we were hearing all these wonderful verses. So we know that the same result that you got by 50,000 years of meditation in Satyayuga, same thing you get in this Kali Yuga, just by chanting the holy name. In this short, tiny little life. Yes.
So I just want to have a similar question. Whether you receive the special approach to get mercy of Sri Ramakrishna, or just by normal bhakti course to get the mercy?
No, we should endeavor to, whenever there's opportunity to serve senior Vaishnava. What does speak of senior any Vaishnava? Because we don't know. Now we may think this is a little Vaishnava. But one day he may be very great Vaishnava. So whatever service we can render, invite the devotees to your home and have Harinam Kirtan and feed them nice prasadam. During this Prasota month especially, one can give charity, so you can give some charity. We can have Amriti again for breakfast prasadam. You help the devotees in their preaching somehow or another. Then one has to endeavor. We're always looking, because this is a push-button age. We just want to click on the link and all our troubles will go away. But you have to endeavor. In Madhurya Kadambini, which I translated by Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, if you commit offense to the Vaishnava, the only way to get free of that offense is to go to that Vaishnava and beg forgiveness from him. He says, you think, oh, I'll just chant the holy name, then it becomes not only Vaishnava Aparada, it becomes Nama Aparada also. We have to go and beg forgiveness from that Vaishnava. And he said, just like I was talking about little Vaishnava, big Vaishnava, he says, one shouldn't think, oh, what kind of Vaishnava is he anyway? He got angry. And Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Api Chet Sudaracharam Bhajate Mam Ananyabhak, that Sudaracham, Achara, we know, we came here to Vrindavan to learn a little bit of Vaishnava Achara. So, Durachar. Dur means very far. So, one who's way off of the path. And here Krishna says, Sudurachar, even if he's very misbehaved. Bhajate Mamanan, he doesn't worship all these Devi Devatas. He's a Nanya Bhakta of Krishna. Sadur Eva Samantavya. Krishna says, Eva. Eva is a tiny Sanskrit word, but it's very not used casually. Is sadhu Eva? Certainly he's sadhu. And mantavya is an imperative tense. Not that to the extent that he does nice service, that he's a nice Vaishnava, and the extent that he's doing nonsense, he's a rascal. He said, no, he's sadhu. Mantavya, you have to accept him as sadhu. Shipram bhavati dharmatma. That very soon, he may be misbehaved, just like two people were walking on the bank of the river. And they saw one very dirty man taking bath. So the one friend said, look at that dirty man. The other friend, he's taking bath. Why are you criticizing? He's taking bath. Why are you criticizing? So we have to avoid offenses even. We may think someone's small Vaishnava or not very perfect Vaishnava, but Krishna says sadhu. He must be accepted as sadhu. And the only way to get free is by begging forgiveness from that Vaishnava. Yesterday I was reading a story in Bhakti Ratnakar, that one time Rupa Goswami was sitting and meditating, and very wonderful pastime was taking place in front of his eyes. I can't remember the pastime just now. But it was very funny. So Rupa Goswami was laughing and laughing like anything. And when Vaishnava came, he saw Rupa Goswami's laughing at me. This is not proper. What have I done that he's laughing at me, mocking me like this? So he went to Sanata Goswami. And he told Sanata Goswami, Sanata Goswami, he knew everything by Krishna revealed to him the whole situation. He said, actually he was meditating on a very funny pastime of Krishna's. He was laughing at the pastime, not at you. He said, oh, I've committed a great offense. In Sanata Goswami, suddenly the pastime disappeared. And no matter what he did to see the pastime again, he couldn't enter. And he felt very despondent. So he also went to Sanata Goswami. What's happening? I was meditating a beautiful pastime and it disappeared and I can't get back. As he's walking to Sanata Goswami, that Vaishnava was there. That Vaishnava came and ran and grabbed onto Sanata Goswami's feet and begged forgiveness. Sanata Goswami realized what had happened. Rupa Goswami realized he fell at the feet of the Vaishnava, and then both of them were relieved from their offenses. It's even such a subtle thing, even it was unintentional. This, how scary. Biswanath Chakravarti, or actually Jiva Goswami, in the Satsandarbhas, in Bhakti Sandarbha. He's describing that bhakti is very easily. We're reading all the time. Somebody just accidentally, just like I think in, I can't remember what pastime it was, some rascal thief, he was chewing tobacco and used this white stuff with the chewing tobacco. And he wiped it on the side of the, he had his finger with his white stuff, so he wiped it on the side of the temple. So Krishna took it, oh, that he's whitewashing my temple. And so many stories are there. He gives, Jiva Goswami gives example, one sparrow was there. He was sitting by a Vishnu temple, and suddenly a hawk appeared. We know hawks and eagles, they eat small birds. So he began to chase that sparrow, and that sparrow was running, flying around and around for his life around this Vishnu temple. The hawk caught him and killed him. But because he was doing prakrama of Vishnu temple, even unknowingly. He's a bird, what does he know? What is Vishnu temple? What is circumambulation? He was killed, he went to Vaikuntha. So we're hearing all these wonderful things, and we ask the question, why am I having so much trouble? We come every day before the deity, the monk Krishna, give me a break. Ajiva Goswami says, the easy thing is bhakti, the hard thing is avoiding Vaishnava Parad. And that you're going to have to endeavor for. There's no link that you can click on and your Vaishnava Parad will go away. You have to be very careful and very conscious and consciously avoid Vaishnava. If you commit Vaishnava Parad, then you have to beg forgiveness from that Vaishnava. Bismillah Chakrabarti Thakur in Madhuri Academy says, no other solution. So no other questions, we can fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's given us this wonderful devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.